The Giants are playing horrible baseball right now. Really, it would be hard for them to play any worse than they're playing right now. This is a team, they just had a miserable homestand against three below 500 teams. They got swept by the White Sox. It wasn't even close. And they're in desperate need of a jolt. And they made a move today, a move that a lot of people have been calling for a long time. They're calling up David Villar. So we'll talk about everything that's going on with this team next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. And where we start, oh my goodness, the San Francisco Giants are playing some of the ugliest baseball you will ever see right now. It has just been an utter disaster, and this homestand in particular, they went 2-6, they lost 2-3 to the Cincinnati Reds, who have been the worst team in the league all year. They split a series with the Tigers, who have been a bad team this year, and then they get swept by the White Sox, who had their own kind of underperforming bad juju coming into the series, and then they sweep the Giants. So it was like the battle of two negatives, like which team was going to come out on top. And it's crazy that, of course, it was the Giants who ended up looking completely overmatched in this series. The defense was disastrous. The pitching was disastrous. The hitting was non-existent. And so there's a lot to say about this. Like, this is the type of stretch that makes you believe that they need to do something. Like, it's not just one of those, okay, it's a small sample. It's luck. It's random. This is like the team is crying out for help. Like, they either need to make moves in an addition type of way, or they're looking like a team that needs to subtract. Like, this is a serious problem for the San Francisco Giants. What's crazy, it's like the biggest surprise. I mean, surprise isn't even the right word. The fact that the Giants are still over 500 is like a joke, because they have not played good baseball now for over 2 months. And so the fact that they're over 500 is kind of amazing. They're 40-37, but they started out 13-5. So since that time, they're what, 27 and 32 over their last 59 games. And man, the run differential has come way down as well. So there's a lot to say. I mean, there's a lot of blame to hand out. There's blame for the offseason that they had. There's blame for, I mean, Gabe Kapler called out the team energy and said it was just not being spent in the right ways, and that they were complaining about the travel schedule and complaining about field conditions and calls by the umpires. That's my job. I mean, they can get frustrated, but yeah, I mean, this team, people have been blowing me up, and I agree. They started to look really, really stale and boring in the last few weeks. And there's just, it's not a mirage. They are, and they are playing completely flat and just like a team that's desperate for help. And so they made a move. They finally make the move to call up David Villar. And, you know, I wonder if they would have done this if Anthony DeSclafani didn't have to go on the 60-day IL. So since the last time we talked, DeSclafani has gone back on the injured list, and we learned that he's going to have season-ending ankle surgery. And so I know a lot of people, it's just, I don't like it, are super negative and like, good, don't hurry back. Come on. This guy was a key part of last year's team and success. He was really good. I know he struggled against the Dodgers. He struggled in the division series. But all in all, I mean, It's funny because people are in love with Jacob Junis. Like he was like Junis basically all year. He just was a strong member of that starting rotation, and now he goes. He obviously isn't healthy, and that's a huge reason why the performance hasn't been there. He's got a bum ankle driving off, you know, his right ankle to drive off the rubber. So if that ankle is so injured, it requires surgery that takes, what did they say, 4 to 5 or 5 to 6 months of recovery time. He's seriously injured. And so that explains the performance to a large degree. And so anyway, he's going to have that surgery and he's going to be out for the season. So we wish him, you know, a healthy recovery and what, you know, we'll welcome him back in 2023. But for now, they're going to have to fill out that spot. And the point was about David Villar and that, okay, so DeSclafani going on the 60-day IL opens up a 40-man spot. And so one of the issues with Villar was that he wasn't on the 40-man roster. But by opening up a 40-man spot with DeSclafani going on the IL, you're just able to add a Villar without having to DFA someone. At the same time, I mean, this is a different conversation, but there seems to be some guys who are DFA candidates and they could have made a move to get VR up here, but they just didn't do it until now. So I don't know if they would have made this move if DeSclafani didn't go on the IL. I would hope that they would have because they're in desperate need of some change, I would say, and some youth. I think that's a big part of this is that a lot of the players that they have that they're running out there right now don't really have a future with this team. It's just like now or never, and they're not performing now. And so the psychology of the team, when you've got a guy like Longoria, who's what, 37 years old at this point, I think he's 36, going to be 37. Last year of his deal, he's been playing fine, actually. But just the combination of the old guys just not really doing much and also just not really having a future personally and with the Giants, probably. When we look at, Crawford signed for next year. Belt isn't. Longoria isn't. There's a club option. But you need some guys who are like part of the future to start showing up and providing that energy and that youthful energy. And David Villar hopefully can be that. So the story on Villar, as many of you know, is that he's been tearing it up in AAA this year. Just an unbelievable season he's had for the Rivercats. He's hit .284. With a .409 on base and .633 slugging. It just gets better and better as I go through the slash line. That's a .349 isolated power, a .151 weighted runs created plus, a walk rate of 16%. Strikeout rate is a little high at 27%. So when you're striking out 27% in AAA, you can kind of assume that's going to be higher in the major leagues. And that would be like the one thing that I would have some concerns about. Little bit of a softish landing spot. I say that and maybe some don't agree, but I'll explain myself. Facing Madison Bumgarner today. Bumgarner is a left-handed pitcher, easier matchup for a right-handed hitter like VR, and also Bumgarner's not really a strikeout guy, and so maybe they just think it's a good matchup for him to have his first taste of the major leagues. But I hope that it's not just a, you know, face a righty and then send him back down situation. They really, I think, need to start giving these guys more of an opportunity because clearly the kind of veteran-based team that they have just isn't getting it done. And I think that they need to shake things up foundationally, not just like on the margins of the roster. So coming up next, we're going to continue this discussion and what to expect about David Villar. By the way, he has 21 home runs already in just 66 games for Sacramento. So we'll get more into the numbers and talk about, you know, the next half of the season for the Giants and what to expect and what we should be looking for from this team. So all of that in just a second. But first, from the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built have given coconut brownie chunk the Puffs treatment. That's right, coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They're good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. Coconut brownie chunks are only here for a limited time. Go to built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built's are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs, of course, is that they taste amazing, but you can also enjoy them guilt-free. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, as promised, I want to just talk more about the state of the Giants and David Villar getting called up and how I think it should just not be a continuation of what we've seen, which is, you know, guys getting an opportunity and then they make a platoon appearance and then they get sent down the next day for somebody else. I think that they have to stop that at this moment in time. And, you know, we got questions on Friday about the trade deadline and if the Giants should be sellers or kind of if it would be wise to trade Joc Pederson and Carlos Rodon. I hope I didn't come off as dismissive for those questions. I didn't mean to be. And my answer was generally like they have the next few weeks until the trade deadline actually comes. And I think they're not in a position where they're just going to panic sell right now, of course, right? If they're going to sell, it would be that this continues for another few weeks. And it's like, wow, they really aren't a competitive team and they really aren't a team that looks like they're going anywhere. But because their record is still solid enough and they're still like right there in the playoff picture, they're not just going to do that right now. And so that's when I say I can't really answer that yet. That's basically what I meant. However, I do just want to emphasize that I see the point. And I'm watching this game yesterday, which I'm thinking, I hope nobody is watching this who isn't like doesn't have to watch it for their job, because, and I feel bad for every single person who went to pretty much every single game on this homestand. It was just miserable baseball and a team that was just desperate for a shakeup is what I see. Like that roster, I don't see turning it around really. I think that they need some change, and I'm kind of with you in the platoon-centric team. Like, they need some core players who are more impact and more exciting and fun to watch and interesting than just kind of, you know, you've got Wade and Yastrzemski and Pederson, and then you've got your Ruff and your Flores and Tyro Estrada and whatever. Just running them out there in these... the platoons work, and so just stopping platooning isn't the answer. If you just run out Wade and Yastrzemski and Pederson against every left-handed pitcher out there, that's not going to solve the problem. What it's going to do is make them continue to struggle in some ways. But, I mean, they've struggled so much recently that they couldn't really struggle anymore. So it might actually like look better in the short term, but over the long term, you're just getting worse by exposing platoon players like Joc Pederson, who we tweeted this out during, you know, because they pinch hit for him in one of these games in a big spot for Darren Ruff, came in and then hit into a double play. And people are upset about taking out Pederson. But Pederson, if you look back to when he debuted in 2014, among all left-handed hitters against left-handed pitchers, he has like the fifth worst weighted runs created plus against lefties as a left-handed hitter among players who are currently active. And so it's bad. It's like 30 points below average, and his numbers against righties are like 30 points above average. So he is not a guy who should be facing a ton of lefties, just plain and simple. So it's not a matter of it's the wrong idea to platoon them. It's a matter of do they need some players who are not platoon players, and that wouldn't be Pederson, it'd be somebody else, and who are more foundational pieces. Because that, when I graded the Giants offseason, because I was asked to do so, I gave them a C- overall, even though I was really happy with the pitching moves. And me and a lot of other Giants analysts thought that they had one of the better pitching staffs, at least a starting staff, in Major League Baseball with Rodon and Webb, Cobb essentially replacing Cueto, and then DeSclafani and Wood, who were very good last year, looked like a really solid, and not just solid, but great 1-5. And I still believe in that group for the most part, especially when Junis comes back, he was pitching so well. And I think Cobb, he had a good start the other day And I still believe in Alex Cobb. We'll see about Wood. But and DeSclafani's obviously out. But the C minus came. I was disappointed in their position player lack of moves. It was basically just pick up Joc Pederson, who as much of an impact as he can make as a platoon player, it's a little bit more limited. You're going to take him out if you're making kind of the right move. But if you signed, you know, Corey Seager or Trevor Story or Marcus Semien, and I know some of these guys have struggled, like being honest with ourselves, these guys don't necessarily solve the problem either because they have struggled. But I just think that they need some of that because the core guys, the guys who aren't really platoon players per se, like Crawford and Belt, have done nothing this season. And in a way, like they should have seen it coming because they are older and you can't really expect them to have improved. But I think that they literally have gotten zero wins above replacement out of Brandon Belt this year. Crawford a little bit, but different defensive metrics rate him differently. And if you look at certain ones, he's probably more of a negative asset this year, if that makes sense, negative asset. But so they've gotten nothing out of their non-platoon players. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that we've seen the bigger the sample has gotten with the 2022 season, the more we've seen that this is a problem and that this team doesn't really look like it's going anywhere as currently constructed. And I think it is time to seriously entertain just making changes, whether that's like, okay, so Evan Longoria, just as an example, with David Villar, who comes up, and how old is he? He's 25 or 26. He's currently, yeah, he's 25 years old, born in 1997, 11th round pick in 2018, who was, of course, like I said, just tearing it up in AAA, which is a hot offensive environment, but the 151 weighted runs created plus is adjusted for the environment in which you play. So he was 50% above average offensively there at that level. So with Longoria, I think, because I answered the questions about trades, like, do you hybrid buy and sell? And we mentioned Longoria. And so if VR comes up and proves that he kind of belongs at the major league level, do you consider making a move like trading away Evan Longoria, who could reject any trade given his how long he's been in the majors? But would he relish the opportunity to go? I just read something recently. He's considering retirement and he hasn't been able to be anywhere near his family in a couple years when he's playing. So I don't know. I think maybe he still lives in Florida. And so would he, you know, relish the opportunity to go to a team closer to home and have one last playoff run? He's never won a World Series, and give him that shot. And then also you freed up a spot where you can more permanently like play a David Villar down the stretch and really see what you have and let him play every day. And I don't know if it's VR, if it's somebody else, but those types of moves where you trade somebody away who's on the last year of their deal and plug in somebody from your system who can provide some of that youth and potentially performance as well, I think they need to start considering freeing up some of these spots for some of these younger players. So coming up next, we're just going to take a little bit of a step back and look at where the Giants are in the standings, what is their upcoming schedule, and project forward in the month of July. And like the most likely outcome, are they going to just continue this tailspin or are they going to maybe come out of it anytime soon? So we'll look into that in 1 minute. But first, betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's Major League Baseball season. There's a lot of action you can always check out at Bet Online. I would, at this point in time, probably not encourage you to look at Giants playoff odds, but I think we still have some Cy Young candidates here, possibly in Carlos Rodon and Logan Webb. I still think Rodon is being underrated a little bit in Cy Young conversations. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports, scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. All right. As promised, I just want to take a step back and talk about where the Giants are. As I mentioned earlier, it's kind of like a troll job that the Giants are still above 500, given how poorly they've played over a long stretch of time here. And so I just want to kind of talk about what I mean by that. So they're 40-37. For the longest time, they held on to a playoff spot, even though they looked like a team that didn't deserve it or that needed to change course in order to hold on to it. Well, they've continued to fall, of course. And now they're two games back of the third wildcard team. So they are in danger of falling. Like if you start going 4 or 5 games back, you suddenly, it becomes long odds to make the postseason. Whereas as it is now, and as it has been for a number of weeks, they've had pretty good odds still to make the playoffs. So for the first time since I've been checking since the early season, the Giants' playoff odds, according to FanGraphs, are now below 50% at 44.5%. But that's still pretty good. I think a lot of people listening are probably thinking, oh, that's surprisingly high given how poorly they've played. You're still at about a 50-50 shot, but less than that, according to FanGraphs. And I don't know how much weight we should give to FanGraphs' projections for the Giants. They do think the Giants are an above 500 team for the rest of the season, and getting ultimately to 86-76 is the current projection, 85.8. So technically a little worse than 86, but obviously you can't win decimals of games. So they think 86 is more likely than 85. And in the division, they're 8.5 back. So as I have said, I don't think that, now according to FanGraphs, the division odds are 3.4%. So, and the wild card 41.1%. And so, like I said, that's why a move needs to be made now, because you can't afford to continue this slide if you want to have any shot this season. And I don't think, even though as a fan, it's easy to go this way, they're not just going to give up on the season right now with a month to go before the trade deadline. You might as well just play it out in July and see if you can turn things around. Let's remember in 2019, this team went like 21-5 in the month of July, just some crazy hot July that kind of came out of nowhere. And overall in the season, they still had a losing record, but they just had a great month. And so it can happen even to a team that's not very good. And so if you're the Giants, you might as well just try to turn this thing around. And I get some people think, no, they shouldn't. They should just sell. But here's the thing. You're not going to get that much for these players you trade at the trade deadline. You just don't get that great of returns from rental players. Pitchers, I think you get more because teams can kind of utilize those guys more. I think that pitchers make more of an impact in October in the playoffs because for hitters, you only come up every 9 times and you might not come up in big situations, whereas a pitcher can like win you a game. If that pitcher goes out and dominates in their start, and they can start multiple times in every series, they can like win the game by dominating. And so I think Rodon, among all players on the Giants, would probably have the most trade value right now as a rental player, and really just in general. It's not like they have a bunch of, well, Logan Webb would probably get you more actually, because he's got multiple years of club control and that's more coveted, but they're not trading Webb. So I think, yeah, you do entertain trading Carlos Rodon, but for that, you don't have to make that decision now. You wait until the end of the month. And if this tailspin continues, then you do consider that. But they might as well play it out. And their schedule, I know like some of you may be laughing when I say their schedule is kind of relatively soft, because their homestand they just had was the softest one they've had in a long time, if not all season. And they went 2-6. But they also swept the Dodgers. So anything can kind of change in any time. And this, they do play the Diamondbacks for the first time all year, which is weird. The Diamondbacks are 35-44. The Giants are a better team than the Diamondbacks, so they should be able to win these games and they should be able to hit in Arizona. But, you know, the game isn't played on paper, so we will have to see. And then they play the Padres, who are tough, D-backs again, Brewers, who are tough, All-Star break, Dodgers, Diamondbacks, Cubs. And so there's some tough teams mixed in there, so the Giants will be tested at times, but as horribly as they've played, I'm looking forward to seeing David Villar. I hope it's not a one-and-done situation. I hope they let him continue to play, even if it's not against a left-handed pitcher. And I think that they could turn it around in Arizona. But all in all, I'm pessimistic about the Giants right now. It'd be hard not to be given just how horrendously they've played recently. So that's all the time we have for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Happy 4th of July, by the way. Once again, my name's Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. Some Giants mixed in there, too, that he talks about from time to time. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Anyway, really hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you have a great holiday. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. Stay Locked On Giants.